Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, our conversation for today is around beauty. Our conversation is around being beautiful inside and out and trying our best to be beautiful. It is what it is. It's like one of those the works conversations. So ladies and gentlemen, how are we going to become beautiful? You know, When I think of these conversations that I would like to have with you guys, I think about your insecurities, my insecurities, their insecurities, everyone's insecurities. And beauty has definitely been one of the insecurities that we as individuals have had. Am I handsome? Am I not handsome? Am I the type? Am I not the type? Type. When it comes to type, right? That one is a, we don't know. We don't know because we don't know what they're attracted to, because we don't know what they were exposed to. We don't know nothing. And we're just hoping for the best and expecting the worst. And when the best happens, then we are glad. And when the worst happens, we were at least expecting it. The reason that I would like to talk about beauty is because there might be somebody out there that's thinking like, yo, I just want to be beautiful. And you are thinking, yeah, but you should know better. Yeah, like you should know that beauty is an internal thing. That is how I imagine all of you guys talking, especially when it comes to heart matters, when it comes to mental well-being, when it comes to our own, you know, insecurities, when it comes to us, you know, everybody assumes that we should know better, but we don't know better. Katushishi, we don't know. So that is why we are listening to Matriarch and we are asking questions, because these questions, they pop up, man. They pop up. Like, my Matriarch, how am I going to be beautiful? I'm like, hey. Wait a minute. Are you not alive? That's beautiful. Because for me, as long as you are here, they, woo, that is beautiful. That is attractive. That is amazing. Because, right? A lot of people are not here. And some people are not here by choice, right? Because, it's very, very hard. And the fact that you're here, the fact that you are still pushing, you're still trying, I'm so proud. I'm proud of all of you guys for still being here. Because we all know that the going is tough, and we are just ordering another one and another one and another one. Hopefully at some point we'll be so intoxicated with good and positive vibes that we would actually start enjoying our lives and start living a good life and somewhere, somehow just start having a better sense of presence when it comes to our lives. We don't have to be supermodel worthy, but I know that there are certain things that you can't change and there are certain things that you can change. You don't have to cry yourself to sleep if you are overweight, my dear. Just learn what your body needs and exercise according to what your body needs. Many of us are breaking the backs and going to the gym and running and all of that, and nothing's happening. We are dieting. We are becoming anorexic. We are picking up disorders. We are picking up heart problems, because now when you're vomiting every day by choice, when you're vomiting every day by choice because you don't want to get fat, because you want the food to come out of your body. And I'm sorry, some of the content that I share here is very, very, very triggerous and very, 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 very upsetting. But unfortunately, I am the bearer of bad news. I am the bearer of good news. And also, I'm like the angel of death. I have to knock at your door because it's my job. I have to knock at your door. I have to tell you, Kucha, it's time to chila. It's time to go home. Eh? I have to. And I'm the matriarch. So the matriarch cannot have a clan that is out there believing in false ideations and so forth, simply because I want everybody to be smiling in my clan. I don't need you guys to be smiling. I don't even need you guys to like me. What I need you guys to be is okay. I need you guys to be fine. I need you to have a good life. I need you to have a positive impact, with around the people that you are with and the people that interact with you and the people whose paths you've crossed. And the only way we can achieve that is by having difficult and uncomfortable conversations that don't seem worthy right now until you are in a situation and my voice rings a bell in your ear. And it has happened.
And I can only say these things because me, I know it has happened. After 4 years at being at Eagle FM, I can fully say with confidence, that most things, if not everything, that I think that you're feeling and you're going through really does happen to at least 2 of you, 3 of you, 10 of you. And it is what it is. So when we have these conversations, right, these conversations are tailor-made to make you feel some type of way. Whatever way it is, I don't mind. But what we need to do is to try and to heal the broken pieces of ourselves and the wounded pieces of ourselves and just have a good one. Because life is so short. Life is so short. Life is so unpredictable. You know, I read a quote the other day that said that we are trying very hard, right, for a life that is not even guaranteed. We're trying very hard for a tomorrow that is not guaranteed. We're trying very hard for a future that is not guaranteed because we don't know when it's Chaila date. We don't know. One day the matriarch will be standing at your door. Yeah, the matriarch, the angel of death version, will be standing at your door and telling you, which it's time. Like, this is where the end is for you. And you're like, wait, but I had a meeting tomorrow. And I had to do this tomorrow. And I also had plans for the next 10 years. And it's going to be time. And what I don't want is for us to be living in misery right now because of things that don't need appointments. We don't need an appointment to start looking at ourselves better. We don't need appointments to start looking at the world with a little bit of kindness and compassion. We don't need a little bit of time to experience life for what it is. Life is full. Life is glorious. Life is marvelous. There are so many people that would have appreciated an extra day. And we get that. We get an extra day. And we don't get an extra day because we are safe, right? We don't get an extra day because, no, my dear, I mean, I don't go anywhere. Dika, thing we go bototo to go and be driving and what, to go and do what, to dine kite dance because people are drunk, to go and, like, we get the privilege of seeing tomorrow because it's not our time. That's literally the only reason. Not because we are phenomenal or we are different or we are better than those that didn't get to see tomorrow. No, it's simply because it's not our time. So we are living in times where when we look at safety, for example, we assume safety is staying out of harm's way. The only reason we see tomorrow is because it's not our time. That's the only reason. It's not our time. That's the only reason. Literally on earth, that's the only reason. Because your story has not been completed. We have not reached the conclusion of your phenomenal life story. We didn't reach the end of your biography. And that's the only reason you get to see tomorrow. So it's not because you're playing it safe. It's not because you're taking your medication. It's not because of any of that. Everything else is assistance to you getting to the conclusion of your life one day. And something like taking your medication, that's assistance, you know, to make sure that you make it to where you're supposed to go. That's why you need to take your medication. And to be safe, that is also assistance to making it to the end. But it's not to say that that is what is saving you. You know, every single time when somebody passes away, many of us are so quick to ask the question of what happened. But the reason that we ask what happened is strictly so that somewhere in our hearts and in our minds, right, we don't do what they did so that we don't die. So when somebody says cancer, you're like, oh man, how am I going to avoid that one? When somebody says car accident, you're like, ah. Okay, this one I know how to avoid. So then you start driving carefully. And then somebody says, ah, no, this person was stabbed when they went out. And you're like, me, I must not go out. Because we're all trying to prolong our lives. We're all trying to make it to the end, even if we don't consciously acknowledge it. The reason, right, that we're still here is not because there are no freak accidents that can happen in your household. Have you ever met somebody that doesn't go anywhere? That doesn't go anywhere, that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't do narcotics, doesn't do anything bad. It's not honduring. Eh? It's not honduring. It's not out there. It's not like that. And yet they die young. Because you know what? The danger just comes from within. Kanti, they're inside their house every day and the aircon is on full blast now. We think we are safe most now. Because we are in our houses, in our beds, with our children and with our family. We lock up and we make sure the alarm is on and the electric fence, and we're keeping danger out. And then we have this aircon that's on. Now, the aircon is not bad, but if you're anything like me, right? It will give you this chronic flu. And it's not just the flu, because it's not all of us that have these Kunta Kinte lungs. And I think you've noticed my hiss and my hiss here, because I don't know if it's sinus or whatever, because the struggle is real. And then the aircon just messes up your whole entire system, because it's just above your bed and you're blowing cold air and you don't cover and then tomorrow it's pneumonia and then it's bronchitis and then it's TB of the lungs, and you're like, what? And this is the bummer of it. You get to ask yourself, like, but I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't out partying, and I wasn't swimming in cold water. I was not going through the Atlantic. Why did this have to happen to me? And, right? And then it's the end. And you have been avoiding outside so much that inside killed you. You have been avoiding the world so much and living a full life so much that the inside kills you. Many of us had difficulties. I think that when COVID came, right? I think that COVID came to, it has its ripple effects, and it has the aftermath. But part of the aftermath after COVID, right, is that COVID birthed so many entrepreneurs. And we'll never know how many. Maybe Bipak and Dilas. But COVID birthed so many entrepreneurs. Because in that time, we realized, right, that, bro, this job is not permanent. Good evening. Good evening. I need you to lift your phone to the network and then put it on loudspeaker.
Good evening, Dhamatik.
Good evening, Tate. How are you?
And how are you too?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
I don't know. Where are you?
I'm in the jungle.
You're in the jungle?
Yes.
The jungle is not giving you nice network, or shit. It's just... It's just... It's like an AK-47. It's an AK-47. All right, I need you to call me back because the quality is not ayoba.
Okay, ma'am.
All right, I'll be waiting. And then most of us are living in this little bubble of, no, I'm going to do it tomorrow and I'm going to do it today. And we miss out. If I'm in my 30s, right? I mean, I'm almost in my mid-30s, but I've got like one more year to get to my mid-30s, right? So I'm 33, turning 34. In October, and I'm in my mid-30s, and because I played so much during my 20s, or let me say, the most part of my 20s, there was a lot of playing, and there was not even a lot of playing, it was more like trying to get a grip and to be balanced, right? And that was what I went through my 20s. So finally, at the end of my 20s, which I can say is 27, that's when I finally balanced myself. That's when I finally aligned myself and I finally had a grip on my stepping and I finally had a grip on what I assumed life to be. And I was finally getting to the places of which I could now be self-sufficient and I could now be sufficient for those that needed me to be sufficient. And I can honestly tell you that had I known, right, that one day in my 20s was going to be the last day I enter a club, right? I would have danced till the wheels fell off of the car. I would have danced and I would have enjoyed it. If I knew that that was the last time, I would have enjoyed it. It's just the same as if I knew that the last time my mom would pick me up in her life, right, was whatever day that was, I would have stayed a little longer. Because some moments pass us and we leave these moments behind. And when we leave these moments behind, we're so mesmerized by this future that we are planning that we don't get to live in today. We don't get to embrace today's moments and today's challenges and today's gifts, right? And this is the same with beauty. This is the same with what you look like. This is the same with what your hair is. It's the same as what your hands look like. It's the same. And the reason that I'm particularly talking about beauty and referring it to past lives and past experiences and also safety is because I feel that many of us are living in safety mode. But the reason we're living in safety mode is because we are living within survival mode. We're living in flight, fright, freeze, and fawn mode. These are the four modes that we are living in, and they're all part of the survival mode. And these survival modes have such an impact on our bodies that we have a tendency of assuming that this is the level where we are supposed to be. And then we ride with it. You know, we ride with it. If I knew that the last time I would sit at a table with my friends and just have a blast would be the last time, then I would have said, order another one. Instead of saying, let's go home, guys, it's late. I would have said, order another one. I would have said, let's have fun. I would have done so much. If I knew every single moment in my life, right, was going to be, if I knew every single last moment in my life, then I would have done a little bit more. I would have done a little bit more. I would have said a little bit more. I would have spoken my whole entire heart out. I would have given it my all. But we're living in times where we appreciate mediocrity. We appreciate mediocrity. We appreciate average. We appreciate the bare minimum because our lives are bare minimum. Because we are bare minimum kind of people. We are not high achievers. We are not goal setters. We are not breaking any records. We are not doing that. We're living it safely. And the problem with safety, especially within our 20s and our 30s, right? The problem with safety is that when the safety comes off, or what we assume to be safe comes off, then we step into the 40s and the 50s. Now, when we step into these 40s and the 50s, we are supposed to be done, to be honest. We are supposed to be done. We are supposed to be full, like full, and we're supposed to be on a different kind of flex. We're supposed to be on a different kind of flex and a different kind of level. And this flex and this level is supposed to be so extraordinary that we wouldn't mesmerize about the years where we still had full sets of hair. We complain about hair thinning, right? Because the beauty standards is for you as a black woman to have a full set of hair. And if you're going natural, you have to have an afro that can stand one day and dreadlocks that can lay the other. And these are the beauty standards that are set, right? But if we look at who you are as a woman, as a man, most of you guys spent your whole entire youth hiding who you are. You spent your entire youth hiding your hair. And now that it's thinning and the edges are chowed by the wig and the cap and you are balding because it's your time, you are fighting nature. But why are you fighting nature if nature is on time? Nature is exactly where it needs to be. You are the one that's not where you need to be, because when you had an opportunity to be the most beautiful you could have possibly been, right? You didn't take it. You didn't show off your curves so that you walk with confidence. You didn't show off your elegance in your class. You didn't wear okurukwe yompambo. You didn't do that. And now you're in your 40s and you've got children that can bring you grandchildren at any time. And now you want to do it. But it's not because you're not beautiful. It's just because you're supposed to be in a different, supposed to be according to me, you're supposed to be in a different flex. You're supposed to be in your rich auntie era. You're supposed to be in your, what is this guy's name? Carlos Santana. Yeah. I believe that every man in his 40s, right, should be in his Carlos Santana. He should be in that, pa, pa, pam. Shake a tail feather was P. Diddy, and with you must be in that era. You must be in the era of you look good, you are relaxed. You must be relaxed in your 40s. You must enjoy your life in your 40s. And enjoying your life in your 40s doesn't mean that you must be sleeping with kids, cradle snatching. No. Enjoying your life in your 40s means that you can get up and you can plan and arrange to go and do something that you want. Something that you want doesn't need to be expensive or lavish. It just needs to be age appropriate. That's all I'm saying. But most of us, right, we spend our whole entire youths chasing. We're chasing the future. We're chasing these imaginary dreams and castles in the skies that we painted for ourselves and imagined for ourselves, and they're non-existent. And for the life of me, for what? All of us followed the flex of Guy Level when Guy Level came out, right? And Guy Level had the wig. It was not the wig, it was the sew-in. So it was the extensions. We never saw those girls' hair, but it was the look, Moss. It was the look. But all of us went into the wig fiesta. Not even the wig. Wigs are new. We went into the weave fiesta, regardless of what it might have done to our hair, because it made us feel good and made us feel beautiful. Those are the beauty standards of that time. And we were all wearing our nice caskets, shake a tail feather caskets. And that was us, right? And now we are suffering the consequences of it. Hey, hairline is not there anymore. We are balding. And then we also have a car reputation and the kilometers are high. Hey, woo! And you know, we are known for things. And it is what it is. Our reputation is kind of tarnished, so many of us would just stay in the house because, You know what the worst part is? The worst part is that you change your whole entire life to be the person that you want to be. And people still remember you for what you used to be. And you try and rectify that. I've seen people try and explain their lives. And they say, that time we were young, man, and we were reckless, and we were young and reckless at the time, but now we are adults, we are big men now. I'm like, okay. So we are setting our beauty standards. Who doesn't want to look beautiful? We all want to look beautiful. We all want to be beautiful. We all want to live long. We all want to prosper. We all want abundance. We all want success. But when we pray for abundance, can we also pray for the tolerance that abundance will need, for the patience that abundance will need? And also, can we pray, right, for the capability of handling abundance. Have you ever seen somebody that is overblessed? Overblessed is when the person is not handling their blessings well. And they just keep getting blessed. It's like God is like, no, but you ask for this. Take. And they have no idea what to do with these blessings because they didn't anticipate the blessings. They didn't anticipate the blessings. They didn't anticipate life being amazing and marvelous. They didn't, but they prayed for it. Think about it.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, you beloved, beautiful people. How are you guys doing? So, ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about beauty and we are basically just running with it. And what I consider to be beautiful and why I think that you guys don't think that you guys are beautiful. And also what I think that you guys are doing in your lives, right? And I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm preaching to the choir, but it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. So my question for today is, what is your idea of beautiful? What do you think beautiful is? And many of us have so many answers for this one because this has been a question that has been exhausted. To be honest, it has been exhausted and we all had a pick at it. There is somebody in our lives that has asked us in our whole entire lives a couple of times, at least 20 people, at least 30 people in our whole entire lives that have asked us this question of what is beautiful to you? What do you consider to be beautiful? Many of us say things like, yeah, the person has to be beautiful inside and outside. And some say that, yeah, for me, it's not the outer beauty. You know, people that say that it's not the outer beauty, I think that you guys are lying. Because when we go and see the person that you are hitched to. When we go and see the person that you are in bed with. When we go and see the person that you chose to make children with. They are definitely not ugly. So what is this about them? For me, it's about inner beauty.
Ha, 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 ha.
For me, matriarch, to be honest, it's really about, it's about insights. But how
do you end up with somebody that's a stone cold fox and you're telling us it's inner beauty? It's also outer beauty here. Like clearly here, you have a double-edged sword. You want beautiful outside, beautiful inside. And that's okay. Many of us don't want to admit that. We don't want to admit that we like eye candy. Because, we don't want to admit that. But what is beautiful? What is the definition of beautiful? Because even if we look for it and we try and explain it or over explain it, I think that the word beautiful or the concept of beauty in contemporary times also goes with where we are as a globe, as a nation, as a people. Because back in the day, for us, it was first of all, for you to be classified as beautiful, you had to be white, you had to be skinny, you had to be having long, beautiful hair, and you had to be Miss Namibia. That's beautiful. And if you were not white, at least you had to be light-skinned. Yeah. The only people that were flexing with the dark-skinned girls are Europeans. It was only them that was flexing with the dark-skinned, thin and tall Europeans. So now, Vele, you are short, you are thick, eh? And you're not willing to shave your head to go to Tyra Banks' show. No, just leave. Right? And that was categorized as beauty, but that kind of beauty of the Europeans never made it to the cardboard boxes. It never made it onto products. It never made it. So we were still within the concept of light is right. And this concept in itself is not bad. It's not bad, it's just personal preference. And personal preference imposed on other people. And you take the bait, that's up to you. You know, I wrote a what's on your mind on my socials the other day. That right now, there is some guy that is the wedding chopper. The wedding chopper is the guy that is going to all his friends' weddings. He is the groomsman in all his friends' pictures and all of that. And he is there. And he's the only bachelor. Now, this only bachelor guy, it's not bad to be a bachelor. The problem with bachelor is that he can't find a solid relationship. Can't find a solid relationship. He can't find anybody to stick around long enough for them to get to the altar or even just past the year. All of his relationships are just short term. And part of his problem is that, you know, when they were younger, he had a girl. And this girl was absolutely perfect for him. They understood each other. They loved each other. They were good together. They made plans. They set up a life that was somewhat going to get somewhere because it never materialized, right? So it was going to get somewhere. And he dated this person for a couple of years, let's say 3. And in these 3 years, there was this constant bickering amongst his friends, right? His very single friends at the time. His friends complained about his girlfriend either being too needy, either being too involved, either being too controlling, either being too ugly, either being too fat, either being too anything. She was just not their preference. So every chance the friends got to hook this man up with anybody, wherever they went, right? They took it. And that, I would say, is pure disrespect towards the relationship, pure disrespect towards the girlfriend. But because he was so smitten by his friends and he thought that this here brotherhood, this would be forever. This would be forever. My friends are all I need. Every single chance he got to betray this girl, he took it. Every single chance he got to cheat on this girl, he took it. Every single chance he got, right, to make a mess and a mockery out of her, he took it. Every chance he got. And it was maybe peer pressure. But with peer pressure, I believe that it's not really only peer pressure. It is people pleaser. People pleasers are very difficult people because it's a defense mechanism when it comes to a trauma response. Many of us become people pleasers. Do you know how a people pleaser is born? Let me just go off topic a little bit. A people pleaser is born through traumatic experiences, right? So what a person goes through, what this people pleaser goes through is traumatic experiences that cause you to either become defensive. Freeze, get shocked. Like every time something comes up, you become defensive. Defense mechanism, that's survival mode. Every time something comes up, you get a knot in your stomach and you're anxious. And then that is the mode where you just freeze. So you freeze. And that's why you can find that some things are either too shocking for you to grasp or too traumatic for you to grasp. And you just freeze. That's why we don't blame people for just standing there when somebody's robbing them. Because it's just so unbelievable to them that this is happening, you know? That's why they can just stand there and it will take them like a good 5 minutes to snap back to reality because it was too traumatic for them. And then you find the other one where you learn to read moods. Learning to read moods and learning to read the room. This is a very good advantage in survival, right? Because imagine living in a house that is hostile, where your parents are so unpredictable, like your entire set of parents, not just one parent, but your entire set of parents are so unpredictable, right? That you don't know what mood they're going to come in with today. And they are violent and aggressive and loud and intimidating. And every single day, when 4:30 comes, you have to be at your best because you just don't know what to expect. And that's why children become anxious. Now, children become anxious from hostile environments because I don't know which mood my dad is going to come in. I don't know which mood my mom is going to come in. Is she going to be shouting? Is she going to beat us? Is she going to send us off? Is she going to insult us? Is she going to, you know, like slam dunk us, WWE? We just don't know. Is she going to come back drunk? Is she going to come and wake up the whole entire house? Is she going to send me for beer at 2 o'clock in the night? Unpredictability. Inconsistent households. Right? And this is what we don't want for our children. So in case you are that heavy drunk and you're on your way home right now, and when you get home, you don't observe the housemates, you might be the unpredictable parent. The unpredictable parent is bad because we don't know what we are getting today. And in that case, you as an individual that is in the situation, what you do is you read the room. You read the room, you read the cues of people. It's pleasant to have this skill, right? It's pleasant to have this skill because that means, right, you can walk into a room and you can identify emotions. You can identify emotions and it's great to have it. But I think the thing that saddens me about this particular defense mechanism is the fact that what happens when you don't need it? What happens when it has served its purpose? It has kept you alive. It has helped you survive. It has helped you get out of the toxic environment, but now it follows you around. So now you're constantly reading too much into people. So your spouse just sighs a little bit. And then you are like, yeah, he's probably upset right now and he's probably cheating on me. And then the girl that he's talking to, you know, she probably rejected him and told him that he's married. And that's why he's now upset. And that's why he's answering me the way he's answering me. And that is why. And then you make up this whole entire story in your head. Sometimes, 90% of the time, it could be right because you're very, very good at it. But other people don't see it. Other people don't have this defense mechanism, so it's only you. So who's really suffering here if not only you? You are spending your whole entire life just reading people. And then what happens now when the inconsistent parents get home? The children learn to dance to their tune. Dancing to their tune is reading their body language, their words, wording, very carefully. What you say, I listen to it very carefully so that I can pick up on the elements that you are not saying directly. Wordsmith. That's why I call myself a wordsmith. But all of this is must now It's most from a traumatic experiences. Like everything that is good that has come from many of us is good from trauma, from badness, right? And we are glad we're finally out. That's why we are listening to radio peacefully. And nobody's disturbing our radio session. We're listening nicely, peacefully. And it is what it is. Good evening.
Hey, Matriarch.
Yes.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Gabriel?
I'm very much okay.
Mugabe.
That's what I got the name from the WhatsApp group.
My mother is known as North Korea.
People, they don't like peace, my friend.
They want violence always.
I'm telling you.
Mungabe, my dear, Gabriela.
Mungabe. Why Mungabe is not responding today in the WhatsApp? Like, yo, where's Mungabe?
You think Mungabe is just... Mungabe likes controversy. Mungabe likes where there's fire.
I'm telling you.
What is happening today? Matike Piwa.
Where's Mungabe?
Hey.
It's you. It's you. Oh, Mungabe is present today.
Mungabe is here. Mungabe is here. So how was your day?
The day was fine, man.
Mm-hmm.
And you are having a nice topic. We are talking about what?
Beauty.
At the beginning, now you change.
No, we are talking about beauty. Talking about beauty, but we are just going in
beauty
it.
Inside and outside. I mean outside and inside.
Yes.
Yo.
Many of you people say that, oh no, what is important to me is beauty on the inside. But when we go and see your wife is very beautiful. She doesn't even deserve to be married to you. She deserves to be married to a supermodel.
No.
Shashi, she's very beautiful. There's no such thing as what?
No, if you see a supermodel for Namibia,
You just want to start butcher. There's no celebrities in Namibia. We are celebrities.
We start with a varend again.
If
that one you're applying, we're in the makeup and what do you call it? Okashi kato kama moshi para?
Kamocha.
And all the women are crying for that guy.
Because he's gorgeous.
The guy is just something else.
Because he's gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. So what does beauty mean to you?
If you never learn from what? Mama, what? What is it called? Mama Maria.
Who's Mama Maria? It's Vendeline Yusa.
I'm forgetting.
To be honest, I'm under a rock. 90% of the, 90% of the things I don't know. I don't know nothing. I know nothing. I know nothing. I know no one.
No, I think I belong too much on the group.
In the
then
streets.
I need also to start with drawing, man. I think I'm too much in the gossiping is too much on me. In my head, you know, I think.
Everybody is doing it.
No. I think I need to really to excuse some group.
To lower it.
To lower it down and too much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You check this one is for what? Constituents. You check this one is for community. Mm-hmm. This one is for village. Mm-hmm. Then you go, it's just too much, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And everything about, nothing else about business or building ourselves.
Nothing, that's gossip.
Mm-hmm. Gossiping,
that's gossip. Life is short. At least you are enjoying most.
Enjoying it. I know. I don't want. It's too much negative, man. I want something positive.
You want to change.
I want to change. I want to start to be a millionaire.
My like dear.
Who are mailing even two wives.
So that you can have a 22 million house.
Somewhere in Ndonga day.
My dear, if you see that house, it looks like a town. If you see that house, it looks like a town, my dear.
I'm telling you, in your own. There's a cinema, there's a gym, there's everything.
Yeah.
Everything a woman can ask.
Yes.
Just the one.
Yes.
If they can talk about their king,
mm-hmm.
I'm a king to you.
Mm-hmm. My dear. My husband.
I'm telling you. That's Namibia for you, my friend.
But what do you consider beautiful?
Beautiful. You know, Neil? What we learn from beautiful? Always turn up to be sour. It can be beautiful. Let them say now. Beautiful woman. I think there's a song, man. They say what? When you married your beautiful woman.
That guy just wanted an excuse to marry his ugly wife. That guy wanted an excuse. Dr. Victor.
You know
if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So are you telling us that your wife is ugly?
Never.
So what is your problem?
So I took you singer in 1,000 people.
Yeah.
You know why you are so favorite?
Because beautiful. Huh?
I've been saying.
Then why are you let me
go to short.
Okay, but wait, before you get there, why are you people like that? You guys never want other guys to have good things. So now you want to advise us, ne? You must not make a beautiful woman your wife. But yet you are sitting with a very beautiful woman. Eh?
No, we do. I told you the other time that
you were about to tell us. They were singing a song about beautiful women. You are just about to lead us into the dungeons. Eh?
No.
Thank God on the Kukuorako.
Come back.
Thank God in the Kukuorako because you are about to lead us astray here. Eh?
No.
Tell us to date ugly people.
How?
No,
change.
Come
to Namibia, come to window. You like violence.
I do. It's so nice, really.
You know, the thing is that, there are few.
Which ones are few?
The beautiful one.
Don't lie.
Serious?
Aye.
You are just
off the market.
Wow.
If people can marry two wives, leave those things.
You know, even like me, myself, I know.
That you are.
My woman, she's beautiful in the face.
Yeah. But because that's what you like.
Open and look at me, we are okay.
I'm so happy she doesn't like radio. She doesn't like people.
The fact I know. I'm telling you, since up to now, like now, we married almost like 8 years or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I never see a close friend.
At the house.
It's a woman or a guy.
Hey.
Seriously, up to now.
No, and you are her best friend.
From where?
Home.
Right home. And I'm telling you,
I'm wondering,
what kind of person are you? I never even say I'm going out of my college. Whatever.
But how old are you guys?
Yeah?
How old are you guys? You guys are almost like in your early 40s.
I'm already above that. I'm telling you, starting like 45 today, this month.
Today, this month. Okay.
Today.
And then she's like early 40s or late 30s.
38.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the appropriate age for those things, man.
No, but you guys.
But in the 20s, you guys used to go out. You know, the thing is that with that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also one of those people.
Kwambi.
It's not... Look, what happens, is, you start off nicely with a lot of friends, right? Yeah. And then eventually everybody gets busy.
I'm going out with my friend who are not even married.
Yeah, because that's how you have been. Now me, I only have like a few close friends. Now if my close friends are all shipped off to the north, to the what? We'll just talk on the phone, Moss.
No, some of them are around in Windhoek. Your schoolmate even.
Just because we are schoolmates doesn't mean we are friends.
I'm a no group. I'm a group. I'm a group.
Oh, there. You are something else.
Oh, bruh.
Hey, no, you are something else. You are on another level. You are enjoying your life. You are living it to the fullest. No, how old are you, Pipi, Moss?
Yeah.
How old are you, Pipi?
I suppose I have to think about, like, oh. You know, I have to call this guy from what, the north, to check up the how the ghetto and the goods and what, at home. But at least I have time to make up that. Then I have time also with my friend. Why she cannot do the same?
Because she's not like that. Maybe
even once a weekend.
No, yeah? but she's not like that. You know, sometimes, we create good environment. And this is what I was talking about when it came to COVID, right? COVID taught us to be entrepreneurs and to keep fighting for our dreams, our goals and all of that. Then also COVID taught us that we have to have comfortable homes, because one day we are going to be stuck in our homes for 3 months. And if it is uncomfortable in that house, we will not survive.
Yeah.
So now if your house is comfortable, right? Oh, hot. Like, to be honest with you, that one is one of my biggest challenges. Because also, I run a business, right? But the business is big enough for me to not be there every day.
Yeah.
I can go for 3 months without going to the business. You understand? And where am I? At home. I'm telling you. You know, there are days that the only time I'll see the sun is if I intentionally go outside to go and look at the sun, then I come back inside. But the only time I come out of the house, is 8:30 to come to work. My dear. My friends. Me and my friends are the newspapers. Me and my friends are the internet. Me and my friends are writing. Me and my friends. And that is, it's finding peace.
Guys, is that love? Yeah?
No, it's not even about love. It's just about being at peace.
Alone.
You are not alone. You have a husband that's very irritating and talkative. If you want to get angry, if you don't want to get angry, you can just be nice to me.
Like, you come in, why are you in the phone and the whole time I'm want to talk to you, but you're just in the phone.
You see, bestie. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, talk
you,
now. Talk.
If you want an argument, you can start it.
Like a limit time to talk.
Yes, if you want romance, you can start it. And the thing is that, your husband is talkative and he's very irritating. Yeah. So everything that he's seeing on the group's name, he's coming to talk about it with you. So you are informed. Yeah. You are fine.
It's fine like that.
Yes, then you give the phone and you say, look at this meme. we talk of the nation. What's your problem? We have everything we need. I have someone to fight with, someone to cook with, someone to give birth with, someone to go to funerals with, someone to argue with, and someone to love, someone to laugh with. I even have my own personal stand-up comedian. Yeah? Because if you're funny like this on radio at home, you're also very funny. What's the problem? Yes. My personal mirror, the one that will notice, which I hear they so comfy. Yeah, my personal mirror. We are fine.
I take it as like,
The reason that we get married and go and have our houses is so that we can build our houses the way we want. Maybe she grew up Mokomboni. Maybe she grew up in a house that was full of people all the time.
She used to have a lot of sibling.
Exactly.
Because it's the firstborn even.
Exactly. And do you know how much trauma that causes a person? The noise. To be honest, the noise. Yeah. I'm telling you, you can even go to sleep and you can hear people talking.
And that is the thing now. Like, I'm always comfortable in my car.
You see?
Like now.
Eh? Like, and she will not even come out. Kucha, maybe you are talking to another woman. What? There's no those things. Can I go Nasha? Because she is like enjoying her silence. So. Exactly.
Oof. Bruh.
You people like to complain, eh? When you have it good. Then you go and get matriarch. Eh? When you go and get matriarch. Matriarch every day is going to friends. I just want you to be jealous a little bit. No, why must I be jealous? I trust you. Anoike, you people neck have been a power, Mashiri man. You are talking in the car because me, I want you to keep quiet. Because even if you go inside and you start talking now, she's most probably going to say, like, why are you not talking in the car? You see? Look here, now you people don't like healthy things. You have a nice, healthy marriage with a person that is not toxic. And then you are like, yeah, but why is she not going on? Hanoik. Yeah? Hey, guys. So why is he not beating me? He doesn't love me. No. So you are having it good. Your personal person is comfortable with her house because that is how we build our houses. We build our houses so that we can go and be comfortable in our houses so that we don't have to leave our houses going to look for friends because at their house it's quiet. As long as you have never heard her saying something like, yeah, your cousin must not come or whoever must not come to my house. As long as that was not said, ne, then it's not onyanya. No, it's not onyanya. It's
nothing
just
has been said like that.
Yes.
Even if the one who is writing, even people to come holiday.
Hey.
I don't like it.
You see this. I don't know why you are complaining. I don't know what your problem is. At this point, I don't know what the complaint is.
What is your problem?
I don't know what your problem is.
No.
You people are looking for excitement in wrong things.
Yo.
A violent wife is not something that you want. No, you must enjoy your peaceful wife.
Let me also comment.
No. That is your thing. Do you know what? Right? Our conversations here and your interest, that is your own personal space. Do you know that if the minute she starts also being a pull, a heartstring puller, you will never enjoy the show anymore. Ever in your life. It's the last day.
I hand the phone over.
You will not even call. You will not even call. I'll just say it's 2 years. You will not call because now you have to share your thing that you had, that you were enjoying by yourself. You could be free. You can talk. You can laugh. And now you have to come here knowing that she's listening. So even if you are having a problem, kucha, my wife, even if you wanted to, even if you are having a problem, now you have to, because it's going to be a thing of,
I'm going to call.
Then you will really have the dramatic life you are looking for. You will have it.
Yeah.
If you share, you will have it. And then you will not like it. So me, I'm saying enjoy.
So let me enjoy my moment which I have.
My dear, enjoy your moment. Enjoy having your thing that you do by yourself. It's not everything in marriage that must be done together.
Yeah, together.
Yeah, it's true. Can have your own thing. So if you are the one that goes out, there must be one that stays at the house. Because the reason that she's staying at the house, The reason that she's staying at the house, ne, is because she also just wants alone time. Check. No. So, best friend. Best friend, no snooker ne and she. And they go and play at the pool sometimes with a brother, and they go and play pool with friends and whatever. So now, my problem was, right? Mm. My problem was that he didn't notify me that, I'm going out later.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm going ne. So I'm like, how? And that was the time, where all the kids, they went for weekend. So it was just me. Eh? I'm like, how? But how can you just decide that?
Leave me alone.
Like, what's your problem? How can you just decide? Yeah. But I know I don't want to go. Eh? Me, in my heart. I don't want. I don't want. Me, I want to wash my feet. I want to body scrub. I want to exfoliate.
I want to put
face mask.
No, I'm tired because I was washing today. Just let us go. Just 1 hour.
So now.
And okay. And later, no. You read the text message. Mm. Can you bring me...
Exactly. You know, if you go outside, then you can bring me things.
But you don't want to drink.
No, I don't want to drink with you. I don't want to go out with you.
But I can bring along with the savannah.
You can bring it, Mos, and then come and tell me your story. While I'm listening to your stories, then me, I'm bringing my savannah. Yeah, first time, Jay. Now me, my complaint is like, but why didn't you tell me on time? You know? Why didn't you tell me on time? And that's not nice manners. Because me, if I get up, because him, he's those ones that are protective, like, where are you going? How are you going? What are you going? Wait. So if I get up and I say, I'm going, ne? For him, it will be a big deal. So I'm like, let's not have the double standards. When we are going back and forth, this was like around, it was Saturday, it was after work. So this is around 4:30. Now we are going back and forth, ne? And I'm checking the time, because your time is finishing. And you know, Otoka Haruka is 6 o'clock, and then he's not gone. So so now when we're going back and forth about it, then he's like, so what do you want me to do? Must I stay? Must I, what is it? Then I realized in that moment, I even told myself, like, I think he was in the kitchen, and I went outside, and I told myself, Elizabeth, you are creating an argument with this person, ne? That can go, and then you can have the house to yourself. And you're trying to keep him here. Elizabeth, is this not self-sabotage that you are doing here? My dear, when he came out and then he even sat down, hey, baby, I'm like, my love, you can go. It's okay. I'm just saying, next time, just tell me in advance, Then he was like, okay, do you want me to bring you anything? I'm like, yes. And built tongue at the end, and then when he left, my dear Tandipa Teremo, I light my candles, I put on my music, I did my body scrub, and I did my body wash, and then I did my, and then I was so happy. And then I even drank my cool drink. I drank my cool drink in a glass of wine. And I was listening to old school music. And then I had my face mask on with the gown. And I was, and I even wrote down my plan for the week. I got so much work done. And when he came back, he was like, are you okay? I'm like, my dear, I even cooked dinner. Three-course meal. Yeah? I even made the cake. By the time he got there, I finished 3 movies.
Wow, you see?
Exactly. So, please, for us, the homebodies, don't think that we are not having fun. You just go and have your fun.
Maybe you guys are just on Nyanya and because you don't want to around a lot of people.
No, it's not that. It's
even,
not that.
And those things are happening even like when we go to like, let me say the graduation. There was some graduation. It's like,
let's go.
I know.
Home.
It's a tip, Umbo. We just come in. You can just drop me, then you come back.
Like, but I also want to be with you. I made my house. I designed my house so that I can be at peace. No, to be honest, hey, right? To be honest, hey. let me tell you.
30 minutes, I walk up on the panel.
Mona wange. From the day I was born. Ne? The day I was born, up until me and my husband went to get our house. Ne?
Yeah.
I've never lived alone.
You see?
I've never not shared a room. Apart from now, my adult years, where I got the outside room, right? I've never not shared a room in my life.
Yeah.
So, the silence...
You was alone the whole time. with your toys.
No, I was not. I was always with someone, huh?
Always. Oh, you mean, now you are comfortable with your...
My dear. Even my arm, my right arm is a very strong arm. Even when I moved, like even when we got to my house, I was cooking too much food because I didn't know how to measure small food.
That's what's happening, man. It's too much. Why are you cooking a lot? I know that food can just stay for tomorrow.
You see, because we don't even realize the situation. Now, at least my kids are now holding bobo, so I must always have omahini. So, then we finish eating, then they still okabaki kuza imbobo, and then now I andile ngera kongane, then I spend 3 days eating imbobo. It's true, but it's because we come from environments, right, that was so full ever since. Like, imagine ever since you are born, my and your mother.
Hey, Mara, me, I'm also come from that era, but just like it to be around people, man.
You were not really the first born. You didn't really have big responsibilities.
Too much.
I'm telling you, like we uchanga wavaro waharika. People have their life together. They've been married for a couple of years. The house is already standing. Everything is nice. Now, as some of us that came there in the beginning, we are the ones that are taking care of the kids, and also the people are newly married, so all the family members are also sending their kids to come and live here. Then your mother buys a house, and then that house is close to some university. Then people from the village and people from family, they come there. Even when you are heartbroken, you can not fully be heartbroken. My God. Exactly. So now when you get to your house, you enjoy the TV. You know, my girl, my nanny, was telling me, kucha, ta, de mami no done o enjoying go TV, shilji. Because I came with her from home, Oshirine, you come into the house, you straight to the room. It's the children making a noise here. It's Kukul watching soccer. It's the house is full. So this time now, I have no reason to be in the rooms. And we are only like what? It's three adults and three kids. The kids are small even. So it's small fine. There's nobody giving you hard pain. There's no teenager even. Everybody's a baby.
I'm forgetting. For me, to enjoy my football, I give it the phone.
You give the phone. There's always there's many ways to kill a cat, my dear. There's many
I'm
ways.
I'm telling you.
There's many ways.
I give
it
the phone. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Exactly. So it's exactly like that. So it's not really that we don't like people. It's just that, my dear, we are finally in the houses that we've dreamt of. Can we just have our peace, please?
Have a time. I was shitting, boy. I have a window and they're like, oh, nyan.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, what's up? I was cooking everything then.
Ha.
Is there any story for the week?
We are talking about beauty, Moss. Inside and outside.
Yeah. I think with this, you give me a grip of it.
Ne?
And now I do understand.
But hold the line for me, hold it.
Our heroes marched for freedom. Today, honor them by marching towards safer roads. Make a heroic choice. Keep your speed steady, tires tough, and mind clear. And when you drive sober, buckle up, and stay alert, you become the guardian of their legacy. This Heroes Day, let your choices echo their bravery. Be an everyday hero. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You were saying?
I got the understanding of it now because I thought, why is she every time doesn't want to be around the people?
People are really, to be honest, people are really, really different.
The reason I see everything like, no. You know why I don't like it to have it around people.
Mm.
These people are gossiping too much, and I don't like the gossiping.
Mm.
Mm. And they're just having too much negative thought.
Mm.
I don't want to be around people like that.
And you must not dislike her for wanting to protect her house, huh?
Mm. I don't know. I
my
don't understand
dear,
now.
Just imagine colleague comes. Yeah? Mm. Colleague is checking outside now. Colleague wants now. The tate. Colleague. Eto colleague she tarata muhinge she tengea I antikuchi I atikucha o mwahongera muhe
ai yeah
it is ai la tate call my dear I achara na kucha
some of us we don't have any
pay slip eh my dear colleague atine kucha ai tato kwarandi tangi kong ongo be 34 meme takusa ne overdraft. No, it's just this guy is making money, bruh. That guy is a plumber, eh? That guy, right here, he's a carpenter. His business is booming. And he also drives a cab, my dear. You're like, wow. Plenty is pay slip, exactly. Colleague, and then now you're sitting with a problem, and the worst part is that you don't even know how to fight for a man.
you know those things is what is hurting us sometimes because you go somewhere you never talk about it even like I was. Sometimes you talk, but you're talking to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not even concentrating to your story. Like, you don't care about me, you.
You didn't care about me. Like, no, you are cared about. It's only that you are also extra. And the reason that you guys get along.
You're not too much,
you are just fine. The reason that you guys get along, right, is because you guys are different. Where you come from and where she comes from are completely different. She appreciates the fact that you are loving, you laugh, and you are caring, and you are one of those people that your temper is very, 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 very far.
And I like to make a lot of jokes also. That's
yes, you are funny.
And sometimes I get in trouble.
No. Everything is not a joke. You're like,
sorry.
How many times must I tell you? But then you're like, It's only that you don't have a sense of humor. I'm going to my friends that understand my jokes. Yeah. But it's because you guys are different that's what makes you guys a perfect match. To be honest. Like even when you guys argue, it's not that deep. It's shallow arguing because your personality, she has the power to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has the power to hurt your feelings. But she also seems like a quiet person.
Oh.
Wow, you are so beautiful inside and outside. Noka juka honukashi. Yes. But yeah, don't look for drama. Enjoy your life.
Is it our universal today?
You see those things. It's your anniversary 25.
I'm telling you.
Ne? Did you buy it?
So tomorrow is my birthday.
Oh, hot. You died for this country.
I'm telling you, we died for this country. Even we still alive talking.
I'm telling you. Yes, did you get her anything, mate?
I think she prepared something.
Did you get...
She told me something, but...
Hello.
Did you get her
something?
Me?
Hey.
Oh, today?
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
What did you get?
I buy some focusing. Now even she just drink one glass. She's there now. I think she's still hurting us when we are talking.
Not
really that sleep. Yeah. Just reading some books. Oof. Then I come to the car. I'm in the car now, outside.
Nanengene your PhD. She cannot just be reading. Eh? And she cannot just be reading for nothing, for fun. She must get a PhD. Eh? What is this? She must read for money.
Yeah.
She must read for money.
Yeah, somewhere. anyway, for me, also for free education.
Now
going to complete them.
Go complete them, my dear. May I believe in you.
Maybe I'll get somewhere.
You'll get somewhere. You must just utilize the knowledge that you learn there and do it in your own thing.
Yeah.
Shashimuno,
It's tough
out here, my dear.
The
money that was funded by was Kashipwe.
It's good.
The money choppers.
Those people are having quota. What do you use for that quota?
My dear, the money choppers, my dear.
They are turning our youth to only security.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Apart from security.
They're supposed to give us money. We people who are already having companies.
Mm.
When the people is knocking every day in our door.
Your compliance.
Security on the other side.
Social security, at least it's only once. At least it's only once.
They are still. Some of us, we are owing a lot of money.
I don't know how we get in debt with that one.
Me too, yo. I don't know.
It's anyway, because you, it's because you didn't pay attention to it. You don't treat your business like a business.
Ah, we do.
Then what happened?
Okay, mistake. I can't show on. So, I'm. What was I starting with that? I just go get one carton that's a bukondra. I think I submit my paper and everything. Man, boy, yeah, wait another one. I continue as business as usual. Because you're hungry. You can't work with people, huh? Without putting them in
social security.
Then you suffer. But my friend, that was once off. It was just business. That's once time I got that chance.
-180. But it gets better, don't worry. By the end of this year, can I talk to Rako? What Rako 30, what Rako 20, what Rako 30, what Rako 20. I'm telling you, that is how I paid off $10,000. I told myself, Kochami, I'm not going to rush into things. If I don't have money, I don't have money. Let me pay what I can. If I get a 200, then I put $20 aside.
I put it,
Like, to be honest. And I was like, wow. So put 20, put 30, put 20, put 30, put 50, put 10, put 100, put 2. You're talking about Narasha Wako, to be honest. The problem is that, going all the way near to there, to go and pay $30.
Again, is another
it's an expense, man. You're like, oh, no.
Okay, mate, like I appreciate it so much.
Say hi to your wife.
Give me a photo today.
Say hi to your wife. Tell her we love her. Tell her we love her. And tell her she's a good one. And happy anniversary. She's very strong. She stayed with you for a long time.
I'm telling you.
Over 10 years.
We are going all over.
I'm telling you. And gave you children.
I'm telling you. We are done.
My daughter is at that stage where I say, Mikaela, no. She's like, Mommy, no.
Quiet.
You must say best friend. Best friend that she had a kwati. Oh, she's so nice when she's sleeping. Kucha, when she wakes up, it's like, ooh, ah. Oh, taku utato ndo kithoya kwa o, man. I will not. This is our parents' house, all of us. Never.
Whatever the funny thing, I got a lot of sugar.
Kaletua. Yeah. Same WhatsApp group here.
I'm wondering,
same WhatsApp group.
I want the car also.
I also want the car. All the other kids are having cars. Because the other kids are boys, but okay. Thank you so much, Tata G.
All right, good night.
She with the name Mungabe.
Sharp, sharp, man.
Sharp.
You start again.
Ciao.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello. How are you guys doing? Today we're talking about the inner beauty, the outer beauty, the inner beauty, the outer beauty, everything beautiful. And also, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes, right, we can come up and we can talk about the beautiful things in life and we can explore those avenues. If you ever have a question, if you ever have a pondering of some sort, my dear, I am the auntie to call. I can digest anything. Like I said, it's a trauma response that is very useful for me. Okay. Now I can read the room. I know exactly what you're going through because, you know, I've been exposed to it for such a long time.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Faculty of Commerce, Management and Law of the University of Namibia is pleased to present the hybrid face-to-face and online annual international conference on sustainable and equitable financial systems, SEFS, to take place on the 21st and the 22nd of October 2025 in Windhoek, Namibia. Authors, young researchers, academians and practitioners are invited to submit their abstracts. The submission of abstracts deadline is the 3rd of September 2025. For more information, visit the university website at www.unam.edu.na.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look up.
Alrighty. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about beauty, right? Now, who doesn't want to look beautiful? But beauty isn't just about being perfect. It's about being yourself and it's about feeling confident and comfortable in your skin. So if you're wondering how to look beautiful, this is a definitely for you. So how to look beautiful inside and outside. So we're giving these conversations, right? So that maybe, just maybe, you that has been wondering, you have an answer. Because at the end of the day, right, like I said in the beginning of our conversation, we have learned a lot from COVID. We have learned a lot through life and we have also learned a lot through our responses and the lack thereof. There's this thing called the people pleaser, or there's this person that's called the people pleaser. A people pleaser, ladies and gentlemen, if you find it difficult to say no, to people. If you find it difficult to say no, if you find it difficult to argue, if you find it difficult to stand your ground and stand your point, if you find it difficult to express yourself, right? And you often just go with the flow of what other people are doing and what other people are saying, then the likelihood of you being a people pleaser is there. Remember, I'm not a doctor. I'm not diagnosing you. Maybe if it's a mental something, you can go to a trauma expert. They are there. They are there. So with a people pleaser, ladies and gentlemen, this is a person that reads the room. This is a person that has grown up in an unstable environment where you can't predict your parents. You can't predict your parents or your caregivers or your adults or whoever is your guardian, their attitude or their mannerisms or their temper. You can't predict in what mood they're going to come back in. So you have learned to please. So if your mom suffers for instance, if your mom suffers from migraines and she's so iffy and she's so all over the place, right? What you learn earlier on in life, in order for you to not get in trouble, right, is you learn to keep quiet. You learn to keep quiet, not because you're a quiet person, not because you like silence, not because the environment is quiet, not because there's anything about being a child that involves silence, not because of that, but because you are in a hostile environment, and this hostile environment is making you have to change who you are, your character traits or your personality, in order to fit into that environment, in order to save yourself, in order for you to survive within the environment. You learn how to please. So now at this point, so your very aggressive mom comes in, and she is tired, she's exhausted, she is unpredictable. You don't know if she's drunk today, she's not drunk today. You don't know what's up, right? What happens is that you make sure, and I know that this one is going to hit home, and it's going to trigger something, and it's going to remind you of something, right? One, the first thing you do is clean up the whole entire environment so that the person doesn't come back to a dirty environment. But it's not because it is something that you want to do, something that's nice to do. It is because you don't know her reaction or his reaction when they come back to an environment that is messy. You don't want the wrath of that. You don't want the repercussions of that. So you clean. Now, you were thinking in your entire childhood that this is what kids are supposed to do, right? You're thinking that, yeah, 4:30, we all clean up and we make sure that the house is tidy so that she doesn't come and scold us. That's appropriate, yes. But there are people that cleaned up and made the environment great so that their parents don't come and beat the living hell out of them, so that they don't end up in ICU with a broken leg because they left the chips paper on the floor. And it might seem like no man, nobody would do that. But yes, man, people do that. People really honestly physically abuse their children. Like, to be honest, they do. And there are children that, there are people, even adults, that have grown up in these types of situations and are making their children relive these situations. Now, it's not every day that you figure this out. And even if you were on the path like that, you can always change, because you can only change things that you do know are wrong. And up until somebody tells you that it's not actually correct and this is the impact of it, then you can allow yourself grace, because also you didn't give birth to yourself here. You also didn't put yourself in any situation. And even the situations that you put yourself in, it's not because you wanted to be neglected, to be abused, to be traumatized. It's just the fact that you must be compassionate with yourself. Just understand what is going on around you. Understand what you are going through. If you can understand what you're going through, then even when you want to shout, even when you want to beat to oblivion, even when you hate, right? At least you understand, kuchaya, I'm like this because this is irritating me, but this comes from this and this comes from this. It's the only way we can start healing. There's The Body Keeps Count is a book that is written by a trauma expert, right? And he says that even though you are out of the danger zone, even though you have no reason to be fearful, right? Your body is still trying to figure out if it should survive, or if it should protect, or if it's safe. And the only way we can figure out safety is by getting safe. Like literally by creating safe environments for ourselves and for our offspring and our spouses, right? Creating environments of safety where we are not keeping the trauma going. So now Mother Dearest comes back and she's not shouting because you cleaned, right? And she's not shouting because you did homework, and she's not shouting because you bathed and you are expecting appraisal, and there's no appraisal that comes with it. And sometimes there's appraisal that comes with it. And also this attitude in itself, right? This okukara wi dengero ka tenda kucha, this is what you need to do to make them happy. Right? This is what you need to do to make her happy or him happy or the neighbors happy or whoever, right? This now leaps into your everyday environment. You get to work and there's this colleague that keeps dumping their work on you. You're not supposed to be doing their work, but you don't want conflict between you and the other colleagues. So what you do is you keep doing the other colleague's work. You keep doing it. Why? Because you want the other colleague to like you. You want to be seen and recognize Anwa as a hard worker. And you don't want conflict. You don't want to be fighting with anybody. And you're new at the job and you really want the job. So you tell yourself things like, I really need this job. But the truth is that it's not that you really need this job. It's because you can't say no. You can't say no, and it's because of where you come from, right? So don't be so hard on yourself, because I know that you go home and then you go and vent to whoever is willing to listen, if you even have anybody to vent to. Or you just feel all kinds of bad, and now you're staying up, and then now you are doing two loads of work and you are burning out. And then one day you just flip. One day you just faint. Because you are exhausted. You're exhausted. You're doing two sets of jobs and you're getting one pay. And that's not how it's supposed to go. And you burn out, and then now you have all these kinds of diseases, but it just came from that. It came from that trauma response, okay? People pleasing. And that's why you find some of these kids, right, that come out of unstable and inconsistent parent homes, right? They are more prone to peer pressure, and they are not even the leader. They are literally part of the squad that is listening to their friends when they say things like, oh my goodness, you know what? I want to lose my virginity. Like, me too. Then your child is also, yeah, me too. She's not ready. She doesn't want that. And, but she wants to remain cool, and she doesn't want the squad to alienate her, and she doesn't want to be pushed away and rejected. So she goes through with it, but it all comes from wanting to please people, but at the expense of yourself. So now you can't have a good childhood because you're constantly trying to please your parents. You're constantly trying to create a perfect environment for your parents, right? Or your mom. Because I know this for a fact that, part of my trauma responses, right, is, my brother's voice. My brother's voice is something that upsets me deeply. He talks very loud. Every single time he says anything, my heart jumps. Anything can be the nicest thing that he's saying. Could be good drink. My heart jumps because that is the environment. He was so hostile, you know, and that was like my response. Like he can say whatever he wants to say. And it's even worse because now he's older and I don't know, something happened to his ear and now it's like he's deaf in one ear. So now he talks extra loud because he can't hear. Eh? Now it's just. It's just a mess when it comes to how I'm processing it. Because you know, most, I like to be on those healing journeys because initially my goal in my life now is to be the best mother in the world. That's what I want to be. I want to be the best parent I can possibly be from my own standpoint. I want to show up. I want to be consistent. I want to be available. I want to be giving. I want to be nurturing. I want to be guiding. That's what I want to be. Now, in order for me to get to that level, I need to work on the things about me that don't sit well with me even. That's why I encourage therapy. That's why I encourage talking. That's why we talk. Like that's why I am the way I am, because I want to be more, and I want to be better, and I want my children to grow up in an environment where they know that they can depend on me, they can count on me to show up. And if I don't show up, it's most probably because I'm busy, very, very busy, or it's because I can't, right, physically. But it's never an excuse because she forgot, or she doesn't want, or she's just roaming the streets or whatever. And that is part of our conversation. It intertwines with our conversation, because I believe that the way we look at what beauty is a representation of what we are within. So if we are looking for artificial beauty, then most of us feel, or might feel, like there's an element of artificial something in our lives where we are extremely fake within an element of our lives. And that's why fake things also attract us. If we are looking for passive aggressive, then something that's passive aggressive, when it comes along, whatever the exterior is, the likelihood of us following that is passive aggressive is.
If you are set to save, you save. It's a shop to be this month end. When last did you only pay 94.99 for 5 kilos of Marathon White Sugar, or $116.99 million for Champion Super Maize Meal, or just $64.99 for 3 kilos of Grande Pasta, and $27.99 million for Rama Original 70% Fat Spread? You save. Your low budget grocery store, where good food costs less.
Yeah, where good food costs less. All right, my beloved. So basically, I believe that what is internal is what we look for within our partner. So maybe we are very loud, so we attract quiet people, because secretly within our souls, we wanted a little bit of silence, or we want a little bit of roughness. And that's why we attract a little bit of roughness, because we believe inside our minds that, or inside our hearts, that we are a little soft. And sometimes we attract like-minded because, the problem, you know what I have a problem with, when it comes to academians, academians have a way of starting to compete within their relationships. That one becomes a problem with people that are both academics. It becomes such a big problem that it's always wanting to one up the other one. Like, no, according to Plato. No, according to, yeah. And then it's always a debate. It starts off simple, nice, right? When they start dating, because, it's not everybody that can challenge them and stimulate them. And it's not everybody that can keep up with a conversation of that nature. And it's not everybody that has the ability to debate and hold a debate for a long period of time. And then they meet, and then that is what they do. That is their kind of sport, because they are now mentally stimulated. And they fall in line with it, and they love it. And eventually they get married, they have kids, and then later on they get divorced. And part of their problem is that the person is selfish, the person only thinks about themselves, and also the person, it seems like the person is jealous of you, or the person thinks that they are better than you. So this is what happens with academians. And I've noticed this a lot, because academians fight different. It's not like us, eh? As we don't fight like that. As we fight most with other things, like we weaponize our words, we hold whatever, and that's what we do. But with academians, it's a matter of, yeah, but I don't think that's logical. Even their insults that they give each other, it's intellectual insults. And those intellectual insults, they hit hard. Trust me, they hit hard. So we are looking at what we consider beautiful, and inside and outside. One, the way that you should look at beauty, or look for somebody that is beautiful, is that you have to look for somebody that embraces a healthy lifestyle. A healthy lifestyle is not a lifestyle where this person is going to the gym, where this person is what, a health nut, where this person is, count the calories, and it's not that. For me, a healthy lifestyle is a person that is willing to work on themselves and is a person that is constantly trying to improve as a person in all areas of their lives. So if it is communication, they're trying to improve. If it is parenting, they're trying to improve. If it is, if you hear improvement in any conversation that they talk about, so we can talk about cars, right? And you hear improvement. Anything. Any person that puts improving or enhancing and making something better at heart, they should have it in all the areas of their lives. So questions, right? That can stimulate a conversation like this, because obviously the first beauty that we see, the first beauty that we acknowledge is physical beauty. The person has to be appealing to you. And sometimes we get attracted to people a little bit later because they were not the love at first sight kind of thing. But sometimes that's now where we talk about inner beauty, because I know that you're beautiful, but your beauty is not what caught me. It's not what reeled me in. And maybe the conversation in itself is the one that reeled me in. And now I realize that you are an amazing person, and that's beauty on another level. But first of all, we start with beauty on the exterior, and we have to be attracted to that one. There's nobody under the sun that can tell me that they are not attracted to their spouse in any way. Not unless you are married at first sight. Then there you have an exception. But apart from that, we all look with the eyes. We all look to see if your eyes are the way I like them. Your nose is the way I like them. The way you are is the way I like it. Otherwise, oh, shitty, like there's just no physical attraction. Then it might just be doomed. But looking beautiful starts from within. And living a healthy lifestyle is also maintaining your body. It includes maintaining your body, eating fruits, eating vegetables, and just making sure that your body is in the best state that it could possibly be and you are comfortable within it. It doesn't mean that you should be thin. It doesn't mean you should be fat. It doesn't mean you should be anything. You should just be comfortable within your skin and be healthy, because we cannot our first visit and then, or our first interaction and then our interaction ends with us at the emergency room. That was not sexy, because you know you had a, I don't know, something. Ah, no, that one is not Ayoba. Not unless you have a chronic illness. And then part of the beauty standards out there. So the beauty standards out there are saying that you must have a healthy diet, and then you have to have a skincare routine. Know your skin type. Understanding your skin type is crucial for an effective skincare routine. Whether you have oily, dry, combination or sensitive skin, tailor your products accordingly. So this is now for you girlies and guys that want to have a flawless skin. This is most now you working on the exterior, right? Work on the skin, work on the body, and work on the gut. Work on those ones, and then apparently you're on the path to being a beautiful somebody. And I think that beauty is really honestly in the eye of the beholder, and the beholder is somebody that should grasp it fully. But all in all, I think that the journey of beauty is a journey that we underestimate, because we underestimate it because we assume it's about the looks. But there are showstoppers out there that you can point out the flaws within them, but yet everybody stops and stares when they walk past. There is the likes of, who's this? Erykah Badu. Erykah, she's not, you know, yeah. Erykah Badu, but There are people out there that think that she's gorgeous. There's Naomi Campbell. Naomi Campbell is world-renowned supermodel, catwalk. She invented what walk, also mirror. And there are flaws. There are flaws. There are the chicks with the, you know, long fingers. And no. But they are still deemed to be beautiful. So what is beauty? Beauty, ladies and gentlemen, is being content in your own skin, with your own situation, understanding who you are and the journey that you are embarking on, and being compassionate towards yourself. That is what beauty is. Because when you are nice to yourself, then the world will be nice to you too. If you want to be beautiful, you have to start liking the person in the mirror. You have to start paying attention to the person in the mirror. You have to start listening. You have to start taking care of the person in the mirror. The person in the mirror is you. In case you don't know, the person in the mirror is you. You have to start taking care of yourself so that somewhere, somehow, right, you gain the confidence and you work on it.
If you are set to save, You Save is a shop to be this month end. When last did you only pay 94.99 for 5 kilos of Marathon White Sugar, or $116.99 for Champion Super Maize Meal, with just $64.99 for 3 kilos of Grande Pasta, and $27.99 for Rama Original 70% Fat Spread? You Save, your low budget grocery store where good food costs less.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
So we are saying that beauty is being yourself. Beauty is being comfortable enough in your own skin. Beauty is being confident enough to walk around with your face every single day and not cry. Beauty is being able to see your flaws and live with them, and sometimes you even forget about them. You know, I have a crooked finger. I've got this, my middle finger is sort of like crooked there at the top, right? It's such a nightmare every time I do my nails, because the nail tech is always like, oh, you know, surprise. I'm like, bruh, like, I don't know, we are together for too long now. Like, ha. So this is more something that you can say is what one would think that it is a malfunction, default, flaw. But beauty is not noticing it every day. Beauty is forgetting that there is this thing here. Now, many of us are picking pimples out of our face. It's not perfect. Many of us are trying to fix all the imperfections. And the imperfections are fixable, not unless it's genetic, you know. Like, you can't do anything about your ancestor's nose, girl. There's nothing you can do. You can contour it. But even makeup has to come off at some point. Yeah, you can make it as slender looking as it possibly can. But one day you wash your face in front of him and we will see. You know, because the illusion is an optical illusion there by makeup. So beauty, ladies and gentlemen, if we are talking about beauty, then we are talking about self-acceptance. We are talking about being confident with self, understanding that this your body, this your face, this is it. Not unless you've got like a lot of money, then you can go and try and change it. And okay, so if you try and change it, then you're most probably going to be happy. But the problem is that there are a lot of people that have gone under the knife, and most of them are not even happy. That's why they keep going back. They keep going back until the nose collapses, because the tissue is what. So if you are looking for a way to be beautiful and you are making notes, all right, I would like for you to write the note that says, beauty is but a standard that anyone can set whenever they want. Contemporary or ancient, it depends on what is moving the current. If you stay grounded, if you stay rooted, if you stay yourself, then the likelihood of the wave of beauty never catching you and remaining timeless and classic will be but your reality. So for now, you embrace. For now, you accept the unchangeable. You say thank you for the things that can change. If you are in a situation and you haven't gotten out of the situation yet, but you are unhappy with it, then the likelihood of the situation being a choice is at least at 100. If you don't like your body, work on it. If you don't like your health, work on it. If you don't like your IQ, work on it. If you don't like cracked lips, work on it. If you don't like short hair, work on it. Everything can be worked on. As long as you are working on it for yourself. As long as you are doing things for yourself and not for the society. Because when you do things for the society, the day that they drop you and something else becomes fashionable, you will lose your entire identity. Because you will no longer be relevant. So if we are going with the mini skirts and the long nails, and you get that as permanent, that's your permanent look, the likelihood of this going fashion one day and you still being stuck with that because you went with it for a long time is there. So maybe, right, we should figure out what it is to be ourselves. Because many of us struggle with it. Many of us struggle with beauty standards. Many of us struggle with identity crisis. Many of us have no idea who we are in this moment. And yes, I say it a lot. We don't have any idea who we are until we get to the end of our journey. The end of our journey, that's when we can summarize who we've been to have a broader outlook on who we are in that moment. But every moment has an identity. Every moment has a name. Every moment has its own ups and its own downs. It's called the seasons of life. It is a period in which your life is steered towards a specific direction. And you are supposed to learn the ups, the downs, the turmoil, the life lessons, and etc. So maybe our question must not be, how do I become beautiful? The question should be, how will I get to know myself so much so that I become confident in who I am inside and outside, so that I no longer have to hide under anything, and everything is by choice. There are women that wear makeup because it is a mask. It's not even by choice. It's compulsory. And it's not compulsory because anybody has set those standards, but they have set those standards for themselves. Are we together? And then there are men that wear hats. Like, I don't understand. Like, there are men that wear hats. They never take that hat off. Right? Because that is the standard that they have set for themselves. But maybe if we just learn to live past our insecurities. There are women that say things like, I don't wear makeup. I don't wear makeup because makeup is bad. But it's the truth is that it's because you can't afford the makeup. Like, there's nobody that doesn't want to look nice. There's nobody that doesn't want to try out new things. It's just because you are maybe in a different phase in your life, in a different stage in your life. It's maybe because you can't afford it. It's maybe because you have already won everything. It's maybe because you're finished, but we don't bash those that do. We allow them to go through their processes. So if you are looking for an answer on how to be beautiful this evening, the answer is to look at yourself truly, to embrace the things that are there, to accept them, and to listen to yourself. It's okay. Rome was not built in a day, okay? But, ladies and gentlemen, We're going to our official first speaker today, and this speaker is going to be talking about the art of being yourself. And her name is Caroline. She's going to be talking about the art of being yourself. And I would like for us to listen. If you can, close your eyes and pay attention and imagine, right? So that we can get an inkling of what she's saying. And disclaimer, we as Eagle FM do not claim ownership of any of the clips or any of the sounds played during our shows. These are strictly for illustration purposes, strictly for learning purposes, strictly for accommodating the conversations that we are having. These are used as examples, as lessons, as lectures. So we are not claiming ownership of it. We know that this is other people's stuff. Okay? So let's dive into our conversation. Let's dive into our first speaker for the day, and we will see what we learn from this.
So the chances are you've looked in at least one mirror today. You had a shave, or you combed your hair, or maybe you checked your teeth for spinach after lunch. But what you didn't know is that the face looking back at you isn't the face that everybody else sees. It's a kind of reversed, distorted, back-to-front image. So some years ago, I was on a flight to New York, and I read an article in the FT, and it was an article about a phenomenon called a true mirror. And for the Americans listening, that's a mirror. So the true mirror was actually invented by a brother and sister team in New York called John and Catherine Walters. And what they discovered was that if you take two mirrors and you put them together at right angles and you take the seam away, the images bounce off each other. And what you see when you look in a true mirror is exactly what other people see when they look at you. So I land in New York and I phone John up and ask him if I can go and see him. And I end up in his gallery in Brooklyn. And it was like being a sideshow in the circus. There were true mirrors, full length, face size, all over this gallery. And when I walked over to the true mirror for the first time and I looked in the mirror, it was one of the most disorientating experiences I've ever had in my life. The first thing you notice when you look in a true mirror is that your head's not on straight. So yours is kind of going that way, and yours is quite straight, actually, and yours is going that way a wee bit. So apparently most of us tilt our heads one way or another. So when you approach a true mirror, the first thing you try and do is fix your head. But of course, because it's reversed, you go the wrong way. So it's very, very disorientating. But more importantly, I had a flashback. And I had a flashback to when I was a wee girl. So I grew up in Glasgow. In case you haven't noticed, I am Scottish. But I grew up in Glasgow, and my mum, when she was putting her makeup on, I used to love sitting watching my mum putting her makeup on, you know, with my chin in my hands. And I would tell her occasionally, isn't it funny how one side of your top lip is higher than the other side of your top lip? And she'd look in the mirror and she'd say, it is not. And I'd say, no, it's only a couple of millimeters, but that side of your Cupid's bow is definitely higher than the other side of your Cupid's bow. She'd say, Caroline, you're havering. And when I looked in the true mirror, there was the lip that I had been wearing at that time for maybe 45 years, and I'd never seen it. So the difference is when you look in a regular mirror, you look for reassurance. You look for reassurance that you're beautiful, or you're young, or you're tidy, or your bum doesn't look big in that. But when you look in a true mirror, you don't look at yourself. You look for yourself. You look for revelation, not for reassurance. And this was deeply interesting to me, because what I do for a living is I help people be themselves, not in any narcissistic or solipsistic way, but because I believe that social reformation begins, always starts with the individual. And when you look at remarkable individuals, and when I say remarkable or successful individuals, I don't mean monetarily successful. I mean people that have been successful at achieving whatever they set out to do. You'll find that the thing they have in common is they have nothing in common. These are people who, you know, work in many of the fields that I work in. I work with people in corporations, I work with captains of industry, I work with selected politicians, I work with geophysicists, I work with chamber orchestras and ballet dancers and pop stars and opera singers. And I've identified the thread that links them. These are individuals who've managed to figure out the unique gift that the universe gave them when they incarnated, and then put that at the service of their goals. I think that we all come complete. We come complete with one true note we were destined to sing. And these are people that have managed to figure that out. And it doesn't dictate your choice of job. What it dictates is how you do it. And when we see these people, we invariably call them larger than life. You know, you'll see somebody like Roberto Benigni and you'll say, oh my goodness, Eve Ensler, she's larger than life, which always makes me smile. Because how could you be larger than life? Life is large. But most of us don't take up nearly the space the universe intended for us. We take up this wee space round our toes, which is why when you see somebody in the full flow of their humanity, it's remarkable. They're at least a foot bigger in every direction than normal human beings. And they shine. They gleam. They glow. It's like they've swallowed the moon. And all the work I've done has led me to believe that individuality really is all it's cracked up to be. In fact, people who are frightened to be themselves will work for those who aren't afraid. Now, your job is not to be anything like any of the people that I put up behind me. In fact, your job is to be as unlike them as you can possibly be. Your only job while you're here on the planet is to be as good at being you as they are at being them. That's the deal. So I want to start today by asking you an incredibly personal question. Not the one that says, why are there so many syllables in the word monosyllabic? No. Not even the one that says, did you know that Britney Spears was an anagram for Presbyterian? No. Something a wee bit more pivotal. In fact, this is a question that's been looking for you your whole life. It's probably the simplest and the most complicated question you'll ever ask. And yet, how many times in your life has somebody offered you that well-meaning piece of advice that you should just be yourself? How many times have you said it to somebody else? One of your kids comes to you, or one of your team comes to you, and they tell you they're nervous, they're scared, they have to go and do something and their bottle goes. And you say to them, darling, just be yourself. Because when you're yourself, you're fabulous. Now, it always resonates, because it's all we want to do. If you tell John to be himself, he doesn't want to be Mary. He's quite happy being himself. But it's the use of the word just that I find interesting. Because it would imply two things. Number one, that was an easy thing to do. Number two, that it was an original piece of advice. You know, John had never thought about it himself. When it comes to being yourself, when it comes to being in the world, the minute you showed up, the minute you incarnated, you were given a life sentence. Now, you don't know how long you got. Maybe you got 70 years and I got 62. We've no idea how long we go. Although, where you're born, when you're born, to whom you're born, all these things have a certain influence or impact on how you become who you become. So if you're born in Switzerland, chances are you've got a long time to figure this shit out. If you're born in Zimbabwe or some parts of Glasgow, and I'm not kidding, you've got significantly less time. So what I want you to think about is not what your life expectancy is, but what do you expect from life? And what does life expect from you? Those are more interesting questions. And the two places in life where you are awesome at being yourself, you're fantastic at being yourself, one of them is when you're a kid. When you're a kid, you're fantastic at being yourself because you don't know how to disguise your differentness. That's why you see kids on the beach, you know, naked up until the age of 5, and then suddenly at the age of 6 or 7, they want a bathing suit, they want a bikini. Who's got a 4-year-old boy? Anybody got a 4-year-old boy? I'll take a 3-year-old. Jose, you've got a 3-year-old boy. So I want you to imagine that I go into Eduardo's class in school, and it's a class of 3-year-old boys, and I say to the boys, who's the strongest boy in the class? What's going to happen? Every hand, right? Every single hand in the class will go up. They'll be competitively strong. If I go into the same class, but it's full of 7-year-old boys, and ask the same question, they'll say him. because they know by the time they're 7. He's the strong one. He's the fastest runner. He's the funny guy. He's the bully. Society archetype emerges around about the age of 5, 6, 7, 8. That's why the Jesuits say, give me a boy until the age of 7 and I'll show you the man. Because that's the birth of consciousness. And from then on, you become more self-conscious and by default less good at being yourself. The other place you're fantastic at being yourself is when you're a wrinkly. Because you can't be arsed. You get to that stage in your life where you realize there are more summers behind you than there are in front of you, and everything intensifies. You become more honest. You become less compromising. So you're going to tell people, I don't want the spinach, I'm not going to eat it, I don't like it. And I don't like jazz, so you can shut that noise off. And while I'm at it, I don't like you. And we call these people eccentric. We call our oldies eccentric. In fact, what they're doing is being authentic. So it's kind of like an hourglass effect. When you're young, you're great at being yourself. When you're old, you're great at being yourself. But the bit in the middle is sometimes the most problematic. That's the bit where you have to socialize. You have to accommodate. You have to adapt. So I've developed the I complex. And the I complex is a model to help you figure out which I you mean when you say I. You're very familiar with the superiority complex. If you have a superiority complex, you pretty much think you're the most important person in the room. If you've got an inferiority complex, you suffer from an over-modest self-regard. Now, these are both signs of a fragile ego. One of them is about delusions of grandeur, and the other one, delusions of insignificance. There's a third way of being in the world, and I call it interiority. This is one of my made-up words. So the word interiority describes a particular disposition. And there's two reasons it might be useful to you. Number one, it's completely uncomparative. If you have a superiority complex or an inferiority complex, you need other people around. For a superiority complex, you need other people to be smaller. For an inferiority complex, you need to suffer from the I'm going to be found out syndrome, so somebody needs to find you out. Interiority is entirely unrelative. So to operate from this position of interiority, it's like a perceptual vantage point. It's a sensibility. It's an orientation. And it's the only place in your life, the only place in your life, you have no competition. Try and find a comparison to yourself and you'll draw a blank. So I could talk to you about interiority till my tongue bleeds, or I could just show you what it looks like. So I want to introduce you to a woman called Jill Scott. You might have her on your iTunes playlist. But Jill's a singer and she's just about to go on stage and perform. And in case you missed the question, there's a French filmmaker who's filming her. She's going on stage after Erykah Badu. And he says to her, are you nervous, you know, going on after Erykah? And I want you to listen to what she says.
That chick right there has definitely led the way for me and a lot of other sisters. You know, I appreciate it.
Are you nervous? You're going to perform after her? Trying to get your feeling.
Have you ever seen me perform? I am Lady Jill Scott. I am a poet and a singer and a lot of other things. We all have our own thing. That's the magic. And everybody comes with their own sense of strength and their own queendom. Mine could never compare to hers, and hers could never compare to mine.
See, you didn't even know you had a queendom. That's what it looks like. When you figure out how to be yourself, it's an incredibly liberating, untragic way to go through life. So you don't develop an identity that's predicated on being a patchwork personality. You're not a composite, an amalgam of all your experience and influences. You're not just somebody's boss or somebody's mum or anybody's anything. You're yourself. However, the chances are there are at least 4 of you sitting in each of those chairs. So let me introduce yourselves. The most visible you that you represent to the outside world is what everybody else thinks of you. And there are as many opinions of you as there are people. I want you to imagine you're like a big USB stick and you plug into the world. You show up on the desktop of the world. And that's the power of context. If you don't understand that bit, being yourself can be an ill-advised strategy. So, of course, it's important that you understand perception. But one of the things I've noticed in terms of gender, and I'm terribly untragically woman, by the way. I don't find myself tragically woman. I describe myself as a womanist rather than a feminist, but I'm also a card-carrying feminist. There are very few things that I think are gender-specific, but one of them is something I call approval addiction. The need to be liked, the need for approbation or recognition or for somebody to tell you it's okay. I find more women suffer from that affliction than men. And I think it's one of the most debilitating things when it comes to being yourself, needing other people's approval, loving somebody else's opinion and mistaking it for your own. It's one of the most debilitating things you'll do on the road to being yourself. You will never, ever be perceptionless, but it's important to be perception-free. One of the things that's going to help you to be perception-free is to tune into the next circle of the eye complex. So this is your wish image. This is what you would like everybody else to think of you. And it's not about being fake or fad or pretending. It's about moving. It's about possibility. It's about potential. It's about supposition. So whilst there's a part of you that's like your backbone, this part of you is like your wishbone. This one is your adaptive personality, your construct self. And even that's unique because nobody in the world has had the same experiences or influences that you have. But this is the you that keeps moving, that keeps changing all the time. And it helps you avoid being one of those people. You know the people that say to you they have 15 years experience when they mean 1 year 15 times? They literally repeat themselves year after year after year. What I want you to think about is with every passing year, your job is to be better and better at being who you already are. This is not a cosmetic exercise. You're already different. Your job is to figure out how and then to be more of that. Now, there are certain times in your life that lend themselves to change, that make change quicker, deeper. And I call them intervals of possibility. Now, they're not always as well signposted as this one. But you know, there's times in your life when you come to a bifurcation on the path and you sense that the potential for change is heightened. You meet a stranger in a bar. You get to decide what you're going to do. Your boss comes to you and offers you a new job. You know, what do you want? You want to keep doing the same thing or do you want this job? And you know that if you make that change, the speed of your life will change. Now, unfortunately, some of these interventions, some of these intervals of possibility are catastrophic. In fact, most of them are catastrophic because most of us would rather sleepwalk until something happens to wake us up. And what will happen is somebody you love will get sick, or you'll get sick, or you'll get fired. Or maybe it's something impersonal. Maybe 9/11 happens, or the tsunami happens, or the Kashmiri earthquake happens, but something happens that rocks you back into that inner self and makes you ask the question I asked you at the beginning of this talk. Now, the problem is when it happens catastrophically is you're vulnerable, you're weak. And my question is, why wouldn't you ask yourself these questions when you're strong? From a position of health, when you're in a job, when you're loved, that's when the questions become more useful. So the question on this one is, if you could be the woman of your dreams, who would you be? And my tongue's nowhere near my cheek when I ask you that question. The thing that might stop you being the woman of your dreams is the next circle. And that's what you think of you. So now you've got what everybody else thinks of you, what you would like everybody else to think of you, and this is what you think of you. And you have good days and bad days, right? There's days when you wake up and you think you're the bee's knees. And other days you wake up and you can't even say your name. Even your cell phone feels too heavy. So on the days you wake up and you feel that you're the bee's knees, it's not even like you've got a reason. It's like free-floating joy in your body just looking for a target. And you know how it feels in those days because you just think, somebody give me an audience, I'm on fire. Quick, point me somewhere. And your hair's fabulous and everything just works. Everything works on those days. But the other days, nothing works. Your legs don't work. Your mouth doesn't work. The word thief comes and steals your entire vocabulary. Those are two extremes of your ego. And one of them is about self-congratulation and the other one is about self-castigation. Now, your entire life, I don't care who you are, I don't care how old you are, your entire life from birth up until now has been about building a stable relationship with your ego. You need an ego to live in a Western capitalist world. If you didn't have an ego, you'd be toast. But your challenge is to take the ego from its dominant position and pull it back so that it's in service to yourself. That's when it becomes useful. And in order to do that, you've got to find the still point right in the middle of those two extremes. So that's what I would call equanimity or equilibrium. And it's the kind of state of mind that cannot be perfumed in any way by anything that happens outside you. This kind of confidence that comes from there is like the confidence of the sky. Right now it's dark outside. But you know if you went up in a plane, even in the stormiest of days, the sky's brilliant blue underneath. So when you look at the sky and it's made a rainbow and it's absolutely gorgeous, there's no question that the sky's up there going, did you see my rainbow? Or when it's a terrible, grey, gloomy day that the sky's going to apologize. No, the sky just is. Because the sky sees the impermanence of the clouds and the impermanence of the rainbows. And you have to develop an inner state of mind that's as impervious to all the good shit and bad shit that happens to you as the sky is to the weather. Now, we would also call this in a Western context, we would call this feeling a feeling of humility. And I worked one day last week where I got to work with UK Sport. And particularly, I got to work with the amazing coaches who worked with the amazing Olympic athletes, who got all those amazing results at the Summer Olympics. It was incredible. It'd be in the same room as 400 of these people. And the woman who runs UK Sport is a woman called Baroness Campbell, and she gave me a definition of humility that's as good as any I've ever found. She said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking about yourself less. And I remembered learning that lesson when I was a wee girl and probably no more than 7 or 8. And it was actually the woman with the squinty mouth that taught me the lesson. She had no idea, my mother, what she was doing to me as I was growing up. But when I grew up in Glasgow, particularly working class, steel industry Glasgow, nobody had any money. So nobody could afford to go out and be entertained. Everybody's social life happened in a house. So at the weekends, all the wrinklies and all the kids would show up at people's houses and they would, drink till their kneecaps were on backwards and all that kind of stuff. But everybody at some point in the evening had to perform. And it was a riot because these people were bus conductresses and welders and carpenters by daytime. But then they'd show up at nighttime and turn into Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sarah Vaughan and Billy Eckstein. They were all, my house was, it was like a star-studded affair living in my house. And all the kids were taught to perform as well. And so I'm the oldest of four girls. My mother had four daughters. So did my father, interestingly enough. But we were brought up from any age to perform. And we'd be wheeled out at these family parties, me with my guitar and my sisters around me, and we'd have to sing. And we would literally be positioned, Jose, like the Von Trapps. My father would say, Bernadette over there, Louise over there. And then we would sing. And we were terrible. We were absolutely rubbish. So one night my mother came up to get us and we were all upstairs having pillow fights and everything. She showed up. She said, right, lassies, everybody's ready. Go down and give them a song. And this night I was just overcome. I said, I don't want to sing. She said, why do you not want to sing? I said, I'm shy. She said, what are you shy for? I said, well, everybody's going to be looking at me. And I'll never forget her face. She looked at me, she said, Caroline, don't flatter yourself, darling. You think anybody down the stairs is interested in you? They're not. Your job's to go down there and make them happy. So go and sing. I said, okay. And I picked up my guitar and I picked up my sisters. And you know what? That advice has never left me. But what it has left me with is spectacular disregard for where my abilities end and spectacular disregard for being the center of attention. In fact, since that day, I have never been the center of attention. You're the center of mine. And that's a very different feeling. So last, the last you, and the opposite of least, is the ever-present unchanging you. This is the you that you've been since you were 7 and the you that you'll be when you're 107, please God. I spend a lot of time in India. And in India, you're raised with this feeling that you're a spiritual being who happens to be in a physical body. Whereas we in the West are much more into our physical bodies. And then if we get old enough and long in the tooth enough, we kind of get interested in spirit. But If you've ever been to the Gandhi Museum in Delhi, you'll know that this is the line that's above the door. And it was actually a response by Gandhi to a question from a journalist. So Gandhi was getting on a train and a journalist called after him, Gandhiji, what's your message to the world? And Gandhi turned around and said, my life's my message. And your life is your message too. Might not be as big a message as Gandhi's, mine certainly isn't. But your life has to be your message. Otherwise, why are you here? It's not like you've got a spare. So when you think about your identity, when you think about what it means to be alive, when you think about why you deserve to exist, you're not your thoughts because you think them. And you can't be your feelings because otherwise, who's the you that feels them? You're not what you have. You're not what you do. You're not even who you love or who loves you. There has to be something underneath all that. And when you look at people who have managed to transcend all these judgments that we put upon them, you know, this man here, he couldn't be judged as a man or a black man or young or old or Democrat or Republican or gay or straight. It really, really wouldn't have mattered because he knew why he was here. Yes, we can. So you see, he seemed to be a verb. And even when you're born without many of the attributes that some of your peers might have, even when you're born in a way that may lead you to feel impotent, if you can tap in to that voice, if you can tap in to that inner voice that I've been talking about, you might just end up being, at 12 years old, the youngest person ever called to the national world champion swim team. You might even end up at the age of 13 being the youngest Olympian gold medal winner ever. You might even end up at 14 being the youngest person ever to get an MBE. That's what happens when you dial into the personal pronoun. So if you can do this, not only will the speed of your life get quicker, not only will the substance of your life get richer, but you will never feel superfluous again.
If you can just embrace yourself, my dear, if you can just stop looking at the other people, and if you can just embrace yourself and what you are going through and your experience and your path, I think that comparison, right? Comparison is the one thing that's also killing us, because we are apparently being left behind, but we don't know who is leaving us behind if we are running our own race that we created ourselves. Apparently other people are so phenomenal. I also want to be phenomenal, but what makes you think that you are not phenomenal within your own right? There are certain people that look up to you. There are certain people that would kill for your advice. There are certain people that would listen to us trying to create, to how to manipulate people into becoming our friends, and you are the one that is in target, ne? Because you are so amazing and you are so phenomenal, and all you are doing is just living and existing. And here you are thinking that, oh no, but I'm not all that and I'm not all this. But there are people that think that you are the world. I think that we need to stop. We need to stop underestimating our individuality, because we are not special. Everybody is special. Therefore, none of us are special. And in not being special, that is what makes us special. Poetic. The number in studio is 083-288-401. And ladies and gentlemen, who are we really is a question that I think that we should give the scholars a chance to explain.
What an intriguing group of individuals you are. To a psychologist. I've had the opportunity over the last couple of days of listening in on some of your conversations and watching you interact with each other, and I think it's fair to say already that there are 47 people in this audience at this moment displaying psychological symptoms I would like to discuss today. and I thought you might like to know who you are. But instead of pointing at you, which would be gratuitous and intrusive, I thought I would tell you a few facts and stories in which you may catch a glimpse of yourself. I'm in the field of research known as personality psychology, which is part of a larger personality science which spans the full spectrum from neurons to narratives. And what we try to do in our own way is to make sense of how each of us, each of you, is in certain respects like all other people, like some other people, and like no other person. Now, already you may be saying of yourself, I'm not intriguing. I am the 46th most boring person in the Western Hemisphere. Or you may say of yourself, I am intriguing, even if I am regarded by most people as a great thundering twit. But it is your self-diagnosed boringness and your inherent twittiness that makes me as a psychologist really fascinated by you. So let me explain why this is so. One of the most influential approaches in personality science is known as trait psychology, and it aligns you along five dimensions, which are normally distributed, that describe universally held aspects of difference between people. They spell out the acronym OCEAN. So O stands for open to experience versus those who are more closed. C stands for conscientiousness, in contrast to those with a more lackadaisical approach to life. E, extroversion, in contrast to more introverted people. A, agreeable individuals, in contrast to those decidedly not agreeable. And N, neurotic individuals, in contrast to those who are more stable. All of these dimensions have implications for our well-being, for how our life goes. And so we know that, for example, openness and conscientiousness are very good predictors of life success, but the open people achieve that success through being audacious and occasionally odd. The conscientious people achieve it through sticking to deadlines, to persevering, as well as having some passion. Extroversion and agreeableness are both conducive to working well with people. Extroverts, for example, I find intriguing. With my classes, I sometimes give them a basic fact that might be revealing with respect to their personality. I tell them that it is virtually impossible for adults to lick the outside of their own elbow. Did you know that? Already, some of you have tried to lick the outside of your own elbow. But extroverts amongst you are probably those who have not only tried, but they have successfully licked the elbow of the person sitting next to them. Those are the extroverts. Let me deal in a bit more detail with extroversion because it's consequential and it's intriguing and it helps us understand what I call our three natures. First, our biogenic nature, our neurophysiology. Second, our sociogenic or second nature, which has to do with the cultural and social aspects of our lives. And third, what makes you individually you, idiosyncratic, what I call your ideogenic nature. Let me explain. One of the things that characterizes extroverts is they need stimulation. And that stimulation can be achieved by finding things that are exciting, loud noises, parties, and social events here at TED. You see the extroverts forming a magnetic core, and they all gather together, and I've seen you. The introverts are more likely to spend time in the quiet spaces up on the second floor, where they are able to reduce stimulation, and maybe misconstrued as being antisocial, but you're not necessarily antisocial. It may be that you simply realize that you do better when you have a chance to lower that level of stimulation. Sometimes it's a internal stimulant from your body. Caffeine, for example, works much better with extroverts than it does introverts. When extroverts come into the office at 9 o'clock in the morning and say, I really need a cup of coffee, they're not kidding. They really do. Introverts do not do as well, particularly if the tasks they're engaged in, and they've had some coffee, if those tasks are speeded and if they're quantitative, introverts may give the appearance of not being particularly quantitative, but it's a misconstrual. So here are the consequences that are really quite intriguing. We're not always what we seem to be, and that takes me to my next point. I should say, before getting to this, something about sexual intercourse. Although I may not have time, and so if you would like me to, yes, you would? Okay. There are studies done on the frequency with which individuals engage in the conjugal act, as broken down by male, female, introvert, extrovert. So I ask you, how many times per minute? Oh, I'm sorry, that was a rat study. How many times per month do introverted men engage in the act? 3.0. Extroverted men, more or less? Yes, more. 5.5, almost twice as much. Introverted women, 3.1. Extroverted women, frankly, speaking as an introverted male, which I will explain later, they are heroic. 7.5, they not only handle all the male extroverts, they pick up a few introverts as well. We communicate differently, extroverts and introverts. Extroverts, when they interact, want to have lots of social encounter punctuated by closeness. They like to stand close for comfortable communication. They like to have a lot of eye contact or mutual gaze. We found in some research that they use more diminutive terms when they meet somebody. So when an extrovert meets Charles, it rapidly becomes Charlie and then Chuck and then Chuckles Baby. Whereas for introverts, it remains Charles until he has given a pass to be more intimate by the person he's talking to. We speak differently. Extroverts prefer black and white, concrete, simple language. Introverts prefer, and I must again tell you, that I am as extreme an introvert as you could possibly imagine. We speak differently. We prefer contextually complex, contingent, weasel word sentences, more or less, as it were, not to put too fine a point upon it, like that. When we talk, we sometimes talk past each other. I had a consulting contract I shared with a colleague who is as different from me as two people can possibly be. First, his name is Tom. Mine isn't. Secondly, he's 6'5". I have a tendency not to be. And thirdly, he's as extroverted a person as you could find. I am seriously introverted. I overload so much I can't even have a cup of coffee after 3 in the afternoon and expect to sleep in the evening. We had seconded to this project a fellow called Michael. And Michael almost brought the project to a crashing halt. So the person who seconded him asked Tom and me, what do you make of Michael? Well, I'll tell you what Tom said in a minute. He spoke in classic extrovertese. And here is how extroverted ears heard what I said, which is actually pretty accurate. I said, well, Michael does have a tendency at times of behaving in a way that some of us might see as perhaps more assertive than is normally called for. Tom rolled his eyes and he said, Brian, that's what I said. He's an asshole. Now, as an introvert, I might gently allude to certain...
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How? Let's take a breather. I know you heard that one. I'm so sorry. I know you heard that one. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, sometimes when I listen to these lectures, then I listen to them in my own space, and then I'm like, oh yeah, but this was a good message. And then I forget that there are elements that we are not supposed to. And for that, I fully take accountability, and I'm so sorry for that. I'm so sorry for dirtifying your ears like that. And please forgive me, and let us just wrap up our conversation and hope for the absolute best. All right.
Mm-hmm. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
That we should be heedful of course, it's important that we know this. Is that all we are? Are we just a bunch of traits? No, we're not. Remember, you're like some other people and like no other person. How about that idiosyncratic you? As Elizabeth or as George, you may share your extroversion or your neuroticism. But are there some distinctively Elizabethan features of your behavior or Georgian of yours that makes us understand you better than just a bunch of traits that make us love you, not just because you're a certain type of person? I'm uncomfortable putting people in pigeonholes. I don't even think pigeons belong in pigeonholes. So what is it that makes us different? It's the doings that we have in our life, the personal projects. You have a personal project right now, but nobody may know it here. It relates to your kid. You've been back 3 times to the hospital and they still don't know what's wrong. Or it could be your mom. And you've been acting out of character. These are free traits. You're very agreeable, but you act disagreeably in order to break down those barriers of administrative torpor in the hospital to get something for your mom or your child. What are these free traits? They're where we enact a script in order to advance a core project in our lives. And they are what matters. Don't ask people what type you are. Ask them, what are your core projects in your life? And we enact those free traits. I'm an introvert, but I have a core project, which is to profess. I'm a professor. And I adore my students, and I adore my field, and I can't wait to tell them about what's new, what's exciting, what I can't wait to tell them about. And so I act in an extroverted way, because at 8 a.m, the students need a little bit of humor, a little bit of engagement to keep them going in arduous days of study. But we need to be very careful when we act protractedly out of character. Sometimes we may find that we don't take care of ourselves. I find, for example, after a period of pseudo-extroverted behavior, I need to repair somewhere on my own. As Susan Cain said in her quiet book, in a chapter that featured the strange Canadian professor who was teaching at the time at Harvard, I sometimes go to the men's room to escape the slings and arrows of outrageous extroverts. I remember one particular day when I was retired to a cubicle trying to avoid overstimulation. And a real extrovert came in beside me, not right in my cubicle, but in the next cubicle over. And I could hear various evacuatory noises, which we hate, even our own. That's why we flush during as well as after. And then I heard this gravelly voice saying, "Hey, is that Dr. Little?" If anything is guaranteed to constipate an introvert for 6 months, is talking on the john. That's where I'm going now. Don't follow me. Thank you.
Dr. John Little. Ladies and gentlemen, if anything that we took from our conversation this evening is just try and be yourself. Just be yourself. And yes, there are avenues in which, right, you have to be, let's not say it's out of character, but it is out of character, but it is portraying a character to accommodate where you are at in your life. So for example, you are an introvert. An introvert is a person that is in. Yeah, introvert and extrovert. Extrovert is extra. Introvert is inside. Internal, external. Internal, external. So an extrovert is, an introvert is somebody that keeps to themselves, I would define it as somebody that keeps to themselves, somebody that is more, a little bit reserved, a little bit more quiet, a little bit more patient, a little bit more, wait to speak, a little bit more not impulsive, a little bit more enjoy their own space, a little bit more not self-centered, but a little bit more just on the inside, right? If you get what I mean, if you get the drift there. And an extroverted person is a person that is bubbly, is loud, is out there in the world, is doing the most, is making friends, is going above and beyond. It's a person that is quick to notice because they are usually the life of the party. And if it is in school, we say the class clown, and they are usually extroverts, right? But what Dr. Little is trying to explain to us is that there are certain roles within our lives that we need to play the role, to stick to the script in order for things to go in accordance. So, for example, if you are a professor like Dr. Little is, right? He's an extroverted person. An extroverted person is somebody that just, you understand, just wants to be, you know, quiet, alone, and all of that. But he has a calling. He has a duty, and his duty is to profess. His duty is to be a professor. So, in order to fulfill this prophecy, in order for him to fulfill his obligation to something that he loves and he takes dearly, which is professing, right? He has to, somewhere, somehow tweak his personality or switch his personality up a little bit in order for him to be able to accommodate and to teach his students, to accommodate them in such a way that it wakes them up. Because imagine a lecture of an introvert at 8 o'clock in the morning. You're already coming out of sleep. You're already like fatigued. You're already not feeling it because it's a morning class. So the only thing that would wake you up and stimulate you would now be a professor that is up, extroverted. He's making sounds. He's making jokes. He's humorous, and he's also teaching you at the same time. That's how you would catch on. And if you see this particular conversation that he was having on this particular TED talk that he was having, we can see that the audience is fully packed. Now, I don't think any auditorium would be packed if it was just a nobody. I would say that this is somebody that's profession, and him himself carries weight. So that is what he's trying to explain to us, that somewhere, somehow, right, we have to fit into the roles that we have decided to take or that we have been called upon. But it doesn't mean that we stay there, and it doesn't mean that this is who we are really. It just means that we have to articulate ourselves in a way that is accommodating of the role that you are in. And in order for you to not lose yourself, because somewhere, somehow, we lose ourselves along the way to to our positions in our lives, right? We lose ourselves along the way. And when we lose ourselves along the way, we tend to forget who we truly are. And that is the one that gives us now a burnout, because now you have no idea why you're so exhausted, why you're so fatigued, why you are so irritable, why you are so annoyed at everything, why everything is just, it's just clashing. It's because your true character and your true personality is introversy. It needs you to unwind, to detox, and to calm down and go back within your essence, within yourself, and then restart the process again another day. And sometimes that's why we talk about breaks. That's why we talk about taking some time off. That's why we talk about isolation. And isolation is not just you going onto a mountain to the Christians know what I was going to say. You're not going to tell your dad that you don't want to be executed tomorrow, you know, and ask him why he has forsaken you. That's, it's not only that kind of isolation, ne? It's just also being in solitude and then also rekindling the flame that you have with yourself to find your true identity within this moment. And your true identity is that that makes you beautiful, because you can identify this. That's why you find somebody that was the class clown their whole entire lives, but at home they are known to be something else. And that's why even when the parents are called to school, the parents are in disbelief. It's not because they are pretending. It is because the environment in which they are in dictates that they should be this kind of person. But if only we could also learn what is good and what is bad, and how to articulate ourselves and how to push ourselves to the levels where we want to get, we would truly be beautiful inside and out, because then we would have an identity. We would have a critical know-how of who we are. So, like I say many times, right? If I had to describe myself, I would describe myself as an introvert. I would describe myself as a very quiet person. I would describe myself as a person that likes silence. I would describe myself as a person that enjoys my own company. But this is difficult to believe because of who I am when I present myself to you. And the nature of everything that I have been doing along the years, everything that I have done has always been limelight worthy. It has always been forefront worthy. It has always been advocacy. And this in itself would be now, if I were to tell you this, you would say that this is a contradictory to how I present myself to be. But that's why I have moments where I'm within my thoughts and I'm within isolation, and I know exactly how to come out of my shell, because it is what it is, because I'm here for a particular purpose, and the particular purpose is to be the best version of myself that I created for this platform, for this message, for this that we are doing here. So what we are trying to say is that we are all equally beautiful. There is no such thing as somebody is more superior. No, because we are different and we are individuals. And the quicker that we find our true and authentic selves, the quicker that we can actually fall into alignment and into comfort with our own skin, with our own being, with our own existence, with our own situations, right? It's not every situation that is worthy of becoming comfortable in, but understanding your situation and accepting your situation and trying to change your situation in the long run or even now, that is the true beauty of life. The true beauty of life is not giving up. The true beauty of life is not staying down. The true beauty of life is that you have the ability to learn, to grasp, to change, to accustom, to adjust, to go within, to go outside. The beauty of life and the beauty of you is that you are still here. I started this conversation with the pride that I have within you, that you are still here, even after the world in itself says that it is so messed up and it's so what, and it's, there are so many trials and tribulations that we as a people are facing. And if we could just, right, take a breather to appreciate the bodies that we are having,
the faces that we are having, the hair that we are having, the lack of hair that we are having, the hands that we have, the feet that we have, the jobs that we have, the free time that we have, everything that we have, right? Then we would be less competitive with people that are not even competing with us. We would be in competition with ourselves. And we would give ourselves a break. It's not about giving yourself a break and becoming lazy. It's about understanding that at some point, right, you have to breathe. At some point, you have to unwind. At some point, you have to appreciate you. Because there is no one in this world that could appreciate you more than you can appreciate yourself. Yes, you know everything that is bad about yourself. You carry your own secrets. But in that light, I want you to also acknowledge that you also know everything that is good about yourself. You also know all the positive about yourself. You also know that somewhere, somehow, there's a silver lining within this thing that we call existence. And finding the beauty in it is finding humanity in it and finding humility in it and finding self-compassion even with yourself. You are beautiful. You are not magazine worthy, or you think that, but maybe there's just not a magazine that has been designed yet to accommodate your true essence and your true beauty. So comparing yourselves, what the beauty standards are out there is something that you're going to pale in comparison. You're going to fail. The best you can do is set your own beauty standards and live by them. So if you define a beautiful person as someone that's clean, then clean up. If you define someone that's beautiful as having great personal hygiene, then have great personal hygiene. If you define someone beautiful by their hair, then you do yours. If you define someone that's beautiful by putting on makeup and being confident in it, then you do just that. But there's no glove that fits all. Basically, it is you make your own rules here. And you live by them. But if anything, I want you to always have your chin up. I want you to have your back straight. I want you to walk as if this life is a runway. I want you to walk as if you belong here, because you do. I want you to be the best version of yourself every single day, even on days that you don't want to be. From me, the matriarch, I love you. In case nobody told you, you are important. In case nobody told you. And up until the day I exit this world, you best believe that I'll keep reminding you. You are beautiful. You are wanted. You are appreciated. You are needed. You matter. Your existence is phenomenal.